New Galaxy Broadcasting proudly presents Integrative Hermetic Health with Hugo Rodier, MD. In this program, we explore a powerful new paradigm for health from the standpoint of integrative medicine. In his practice, Dr. Rodier integrates the ancient Hermetic art and the enduring role of food as medicine with modern nutrition, but also allowing for the wide range of important health practices, including truly valuable medical discoveries, chiropractic, acupuncture, homeopathic and herbal medicine. In this program, Hugo Rodier, an expert in intestinal health and nutrition, will help the audience discover an approach that focuses on actual cures, not the masking of the elegant simplicity of many health solutions for the sake of profit. Profit too long has been an overriding motive of the pharmaceutical companies, and sometimes, sadly, by many in the medical establishment today. Good morning, Dr. Rodier.
Good morning, Johnny.
It's a great day here in Utah, in my part of Utah. How about in yours?
The same, just over the mountain.
Yeah, it's just beautiful. Anyway, I think this is going to be an interesting program. I had a question to ask you. You know, I talk every once in a while about struggling with my diet. And I will say this. I have made something comparable to what you've been talking about in terms of like, I don't know if you call it a, I guess I call it a stew, a vegetable stew, where you boil a lot of vegetables, then you add some quinoa and some fresh kelp and so forth. And I've done that. And it actually has really, really helped me. I don't know if this is the correct way of putting it, but see, if I eat certain things in the morning, like let's say I eat a lot of protein or I eat a lot of bread or carbohydrates or anything that would high glycemic stuff, I'm probably addicted for the rest of the day. I can't stop eating. I'll eat a lot of fruit, a lot of protein. It's like there's certain patterns that I'll fall into that are not good for me. And one of the questions that I've had that I've noticed, and it's because of something like that, is that, okay, so later on, so I realized I ate a lot of protein in the morning, meat protein, who knows, but whatever it was, I ate a lot of that, or I might have eaten a lot of fruit. I will start to eat very irresponsibly, and it's as though I can't control it. I mean, in other words, I'll be thinking, no, I shouldn't be doing this, but my body will start moving. And I felt like there is some kind of really strange disconnect between what I know to be right in my mind and the physical activities of my body. And I'm wondering if that has to do with the microbiome bacteria controlling my desires.
Absolutely. And you have framed just about everyone's problems with food addictions and eating the wrong foods. And I became very aware of this, about 20 years ago, reading about Sapolsky. I think we may have talked about it a little bit. Remember Sapolsky, the guy who wrote Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers?
Yeah, we actually played a tape of his.
Yeah, okay. Well, he wrote an article, I believe, in Scientific American. I might be wrong about that, but he was at a conference in New York City, and on a break, he wandered about and ended up on the steps of the Metropolitan Museum. And he's looking down, people going by, and he sees a puddle of water. It just rained a little bit. And he starts thinking about all the microbes in that puddle, because the conference was about microbiology. And he is reminded of the article that was presented at that conference where they showed how rats can be taken over by toxoplasmosis, which is a parasite that we worry about in pregnant women, because if a pregnant woman is exposed to that toxoplasmosis parasite, that child will be born with a whole lot of problems.
Uh-huh.
And so toxoplasmosis is carried by rats and cats. We tell pregnant women not to handle cat litter boxes, because there will be likely toxoplasmosis in that litter box, because cats eat rats who carry the toxoplasmosis. All right. So it turns out to propagate themselves, toxoplasmosis, when they infect rats, they make the rat lose the fear of cats. So guess what happens? The rat gets eaten, and thereby propagating, assuring the continuance, the reproductive cycle of toxoplasmosis. So this virus, toxoplasmosis, figured how to control the mind of a rat. All right. Something we can't do very well ourselves. Okay.
It's so incredible that I could be so indifferent to my own benefit.
Well, you think the rat is indifferent to his or her benefit?
Probably not as conscious as I am anyway, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I just, it's just an amazing feeling. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You're being governed by your gut bacteria. But you know, it makes a lot of sense. Number one, the gut bacteria, their DNA outnumber our DNA 150-1. So tell me, who's running the show? Number two.
Really? 150-1?
Yeah. Cover issue, Scientific American, or was it Journal Nature? Anyway, well, I recommend to our listeners that they log on to my website, HugoRodier.com, and look for the link, the integrative class link. It turns into a cartoon, an 8-minute cartoon that illustrates this very point that we've been trying to make. That is that the gut bacteria, they get used to the bad food we eat. They love refined sugars. So if you quit eating those foods, they start sending you messengers, neurotransmitters to the brain, to your satiety center, to your center for pleasure and all that, so that you continue to feed them in the manner you have gotten used to, that you have gotten them used to. So it's pretty dramatic, you know, humbling to realize that somebody's running the show.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I was thinking that I know that that different organs in the body have a kind of their own kind of possible mechanism of thought, something like that. I don't know how to express it, but yes. I was like the heart and the...
That is true.
It's still, I couldn't figure out. It just seemed so disconnected from me that I couldn't figure out what to do about it. And I guess I can't. I have to deal with it as an outside force.
Well, this is why I tell people that are having trouble quitting bad food, particularly sugar, that it's an addiction and we need to handle it as any other addiction. Heroin, cocaine, smoking, drinking alcohol, etc. And we need to delve into the psychological profile of patients and see about their childhood and emotional trauma, etc., etc. To just tell people, oh, you just quit. You just won't quit. It's cold turkey. And people often go through a withdrawal stage, just like they would withdrawing from a drug. And then you need to support them through that and warn them that that is likely to happen, and the chances of success go up. If a person falls off the wagon, I don't rag on them. I tell them, look, this is what happens with addictions. Let's keep trying. You fall, you get up. You fall, you get up. Until one day you'll stay standing, and you might fall occasionally, but just for one meal here and there, which is okay. Of course, we don't want to emphasize that last point, because it gives license to people to fall more often. Anyway, the psychology of addiction must be applied to food.
Wow. I guess I hadn't really thought of it's the accumulation of this information about the microbiome, which I really didn't understand when we started the show. I knew about it, but I didn't really understand it. But now it's an omniscient type of influence. And well, this, all this research is just, it's scary because the sugar has, you know, we're talking about type 3 diabetes now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. This is why I wrote the book Gut Health, and I came out of the gates a little too early. And now everybody's writing books about the microbiome.
Yeah, I read it a long time. I read it a long time ago, but I didn't completely experience enough to really get it. Now I really get it. Let's go on for just a little bit. Maybe start it, and then we'll say we'll go to we'll introduce it and say we'll take this up in the next, you know, two or 3 minutes, in other words, and then we'll take it up more if we haven't gotten through it.
Okay. Well, speaking of addiction to sugar, the microbiome, getting used to sugar and all that, a tremendous article came out in the JAMA Internal Medicine Journal this month, September, where we're told that soda pop shortens your life. And, of course, you know, a whole lot of people don't like to hear this because they're addicted to soda pop. I've had patients categorically tell me, soda pop is off the table. I cannot quit soda. I cannot drink anything but soda. All right, then. Well, let's work on it, but I don't know that you'll get better. Well, they don't like to hear that, but I'm not going to lie either. And so we have known for decades that soda pop is quite corrosive acidic. It has a lot of sugar for the most part. Even the artificial sweeteners are a problem. Lots of problems, including esophageal cancer. And so I tell you, our country is very addicted to soda pop, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, you associate America with Pepsi-Cola or Coca-Cola, right?
Exactly. You know, it's kind of sad, you know, because all of us grew up with Coca-Cola commercials, and they were so fun. We look at a little Coca-Cola, those black little bottles,
yeah,
and it brings back a lot of memories.
Very
That's
good,
how imprinted
very good
we
memories.
Are with stuff, you know?
Yeah. You know, for somebody who like myself, I love those things, but I also had, I don't know how many allergies, 10 or 12 allergies. I had to get shots all the time. I was coughing all the time. And later on, when I got cured of asthma when I was older and I got it back, my parents didn't believe me. You know, they didn't believe that food caused problems.
Well, now you're for sure aware, so I'm glad to hear.
You know, we're going to have to take a break now, but I want to continue this discussion because I think soda pop deserves a big, strong underline in our program today. We'll be right back. This is Johnny Bluestar, CEO of New Galaxy Enterprises, a media content development company. Want to write a book but don't want the challenges of developing time-consuming social media platform, costly private book promotions, complex email campaigns, and advertising commitments? If you write a book about your business, you don't need a mass audience. Focus on prospective clients with the best business card there is, your own book. To learn more about New Galaxy, see samples of our work, or talk to us about your project, please go to www.newgalaxyenterprises.com and fill out the contact form.
It is the 15th century. El Tesoro de Cielo, a Spanish treasure ship, sends a scouting expedition to a strange island. Golden statues surrounding them prove the enormity of their find. Suddenly, hordes of ghoulish creatures with scaly green flesh and skeletal wings descend upon them from the sky.
What do you think of this, Rufio?
These creatures are fragile, Captain. We can take them with our swords.
They seem supernatural. Who knows what powers they possess?
Fallen angels, weakened by their treason.
By God, are you saying they're Nephilim, the devil's host?
I'm saying whatever they are, we can take them. Do any of you cowards dare join me?
Up against sharp knife-like nails and hideous fangs, the men's swords rip into slimy green flesh. Though black blood pours copiously from their half-naked bodies, creatures miraculously persist. Can the crew survive this bloody, cursed battle?
Find out more by Googling The Thrice Born, a new sci-fi supernatural novel by Carlos Lopez Avery and Johnny Bluestar. Google with the words Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born. That's Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born.
I don't want to get too theological, but sometimes I think you could compare the bad bacteria in the gut to objectionable little devils possessing your body and driving you to eat and drink soda, candy, and high glycemic goodies when you know they are bad for you. Suppose we just came out and called them Lola. So when you're cramming down that third chocolate bar or finishing off that fourth portion of Rocky Road ice cream, could you be hearing this song? Here's Whatever Lola Wants, sung by Patricia Welch.
Whatever Lola wants, Lola gets. And little man, little Lola wants you. Make up your mind to have no regrets. Recline yourself, resign yourself, you're through. I always get what I aim for, and your heart and soul is what I came for. Whatever Lola wants, Lola gets. Take off your coat, don't you know you can't win? You're no exception to the rule. I'm irresistible, you fool. Give in. Your heart and soul is what I came for. Whatever Lola wants, Lola gets. Take off your coat. Don't you know you can't win? You're no exception to the rule. I'm irresistible. You fool, give in, give in, give in, give in.
We're back on the Integrative Hermetic Health Hour with Dr. Rodier, and we're discussing a very important point, which has been described in an article called Soft Drinks Once Again Associated with Premature Death. Now, that is really threatening, isn't it?
Yes. The article says that we don't have that much evidence to corroborate their findings. That is not true. The evidence has always been there. Even as soda pop was being marketed, there were some dissenters. But it goes to show you the power of self-denial, which we've been talking about in a way when it comes to addictions. But many articles about this through the years. I'll never forget the one, I think about 20 years ago in the General Dentistry. The good dentist, well-intended, I'm sure, tells people to quit eating soda pop because it's very corrosive to their teeth enamel, thereby leading to cavities. Yeah, we've known that for quite a while. In fact, when you go to the places where they make soda pop and you walk around the vats, the big tanks where the stuff is being made, all around those tanks, those vats, the cement is corroded.
Wow.
Yeah, go visit Coca-Cola, see if they let you. Anyway.
Well, when your battery is corroded, when the terminals of your battery is corroded, Pepsi-Cola hits the spot.
Right. So the good dentist says, okay, you can continue to drink soda pop, but drink it with a straw. So then you bypass your teeth. Well, talk about punting. I mean, what about the softer tissues down below? Oh, I get stuck with the problem and people have pearly whites. Oh, that's great. Well, I say make the straw long enough so it comes out of your butt. So here's that article. And we can quote from it a little bit, but let's just condense it for listeners.
Okay.
Basically, soda pop is very corrosive to the microbiome, for starters. And if you've been listening to our program, you know that everything starts there. But it's also directly corrosive to our arteries, the lining of the arteries, the lining of the gut, of course. It's been associated with significant changes in cognition and perception and mood in the brain. It can damage your kidneys. It can lead to esophageal cancer. The acidity is one of the main problems, but you also have a whole lot of chemicals, artificial sweeteners, and who knows what else they put in, because some of these companies will not release their recipes, and notoriously Coca-Cola. Anyway, sorry to pop your bubble.
Yeah. Well, one of the things in this article that's interesting and that I'd like you to give your own opinion about is that the intake of sugar sweetened and artificially sweetened beverages is taken separately. Certainly in the terms of the people who are taking these beverages, the people who love diet soda, which I think is very prevalent in Utah, is from a completely different point of view. I mean, they think they're going to lose weight. They think it's healthier for them and so forth. What is the truth?
The truth is that they're very toxic artificial sweeteners, most of which we got from pesticides. And so do the math. Artificial sweeteners are fooling the cell membrane of our cells, which receives any messenger, insulin, sugar. And so the cell membranes are toxic with the stuff, and they're fooled into thinking that the chemical is the artificial sweetener is fine, so thereby disrupting a lot of cell communication, which is a vital function of our cells. They talk to one another, they send each other messages. The upshot of the whole thing is that you end up with deficient metabolism. So you put on weight. You seldom see, well, I should be careful with this, thin people drinking diet soda pop, do you?
I don't know. I haven't been taking a statistical analysis of that. But what I wanted to know is, does it trigger insulin?
Yes, it messes with the whole insulin cascade of messengers, the bottom line. But after a while, you end up with insulin resistance because of cell membrane toxicity. Think of the receptors being a bit toxic, so they don't work very well with as insulin comes in. So you're developing insulin resistance, which is at the heart of heart disease, but also at the heart of diabetes and pre-diabetes. So, and then you start to damage the liver.
Does it spike the insulin in the way that sugar does or not?
As far as how much quantities, I don't know, but it's significant to be a problem.
So that in itself could cause insulin resistance.
Oh, yes, absolutely. See, the mechanisms of cell membrane dysfunction, which leads to every problem, is TOIL, T-O-I-L. T, toxicity, O, oxidation, I, inflammation, and L, less than optimal mitochondrial function, which also it gets toxic because dysfunction of its cell membrane, the mitochondria. And we've talked about the mitochondria a little bit, that's a organelle inside cells, and cells have many mitochondria, where you process energy, ATP, and that's done on the cell membrane of the mitochondria, which is going to be damaged by artificial sweeteners as well. So,
and those are really like the engines of the cell, right?
Right. Yeah, those are the motors. That's where you make energy, phosphorylation, ATP, all those things that you may have heard about.
Well, actually, this article is talking about how it really shortens the life of people.
Right.
In many, but not in just one way, but in many different ways.
Right, exactly. That's what I was trying to list there. But you might think of soda pop as a drop of water on a rock. Well, worse, because water is not corrosive. So it's a relentless process. You might think that soda pop a day is okay. It's not. Now, soda pop once a month, yeah, that's fine. But again, you know, I always hesitate to give people any leeway because they end up drinking it every day, you know?
Well, here's a correlated problem for me and for a lot of other people, and that's ice cream.
Oh, ice cream. It's, you know, I've had problems with ice cream too. Actually, frozen yogurt, which is not much different.
Right.
But yeah, and right now I'm off of it, and knocking wood, I don't want to go back. It's tempting.
I love it. I love ice cream, but I know that ice cream isn't good for me, and I've been trying to eat fruit like with almond milk or something instead, but I really think I've got to find a solution to this.
Well, the solution is to just quit eating it and go cold turkey, and then the cravings will stop because you kill off or greatly diminish the bad guys in the gut sending you those signals to go to the freezer. But let me tell you a little bit more about this. The main thing about ice cream is the sugar in it, lactose, all right? And then we're also imprinted from childhood. I mean, geez, who didn't grow up licking an ice cream cone with ice cream all over their face, you know?
Yeah, the subtle ring of the Good Humor Man's ice cream truck is what...
Yeah, exactly.
I'll never forget that, and I never forget the Good Humor ice cream.
Yeah, we start salivating when we heard the bells coming down the road. The little chimes. But here's something else about ice cream. I'll throw you a bone. In fact, I write about it in my handouts. If a good step down, it would be to get cashew ice cream, very high in sweetness, mixed with whey ice cream. So they're not dairy. The cashew is cashew milk. The whey, it's a protein from milk, has no taste whatsoever. mix them together, let them melt a little bit, mix them and refreeze, and you have the most amazing ice cream, the closest you'll come to ice cream. In fact, I cannot tell the difference.
Well, I mean, what do you do with the cashews? You grind them up?
No, you buy cashew ice cream. It's out there.
Oh,
cashew.
I didn't know there is such a thing.
Yeah, okay. I think the brand name, if I recall, is S-O-Y.
Sounds soy? Like
soy. Soy, but is it? Well, look for cashew ice cream. Okay.
Okay, I didn't really know it existed. And you mix it with whey. You mix it with whey ice cream.
Right. So neither is dairy per se. Whey is a protein from dairy with no sugar, so it doesn't taste very good. Nobody eats that stuff. But if you mix it with the sugar from cashew, you still have the consistency of the whey protein. So the sugar is slightly different. Now it's from cashew, not dairy, but it's pretty sweet. And then by the time you add a little flavor, like chocolate or vanilla, whatnot, I think it's pretty close. So try that out.
I don't know if it's true with all blenders and stuff, but using a Champion juicer, you can take frozen bananas and frozen vegetables and make an ice cream, something that is very similar to ice cream.
Yeah, that'd be great too. I'd rather, bananas are a lot of sugar, but you know what? I don't care. I'll do anything to get you off processed sugar.
Well, so you don't have to, you can do it with other substances. I mean, other fruits. You could put less bananas in.
Right.
I'm not sure of the overall, I mean, I don't want to eat too much fruit either. I know that's not good for me. But
exactly.
I think as a dessert, it would be okay once in a while.
Right, once in a while. But then again, the cashew with the whey, no fruit there.
Oh, well, but there's sugar, right?
Yeah, but look, I'm glad that you asked that question, because after talking this way, people might get the impression that sugar is bad for you. No, man-made sugar is terrible. God-made sugar is not. And we need it for our cell membranes. We need it for every reaction in the body, for our metabolism. It's just that we eat too much of it, like eating a lot of grains. And then we turn to artificial sugars like high fructose corn syrup and artificial sweeteners. But sugar in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with it, okay?
Yeah, I understand. It's processed. Fruit sugar is processed differently through the liver.
Exactly.
And you can still get a fatty liver from it if you do too much.
Exactly. And especially if your liver's already burdened by other chemicals like artificial sweeteners, etc. And especially if your microbiome is not sending good signals to the liver, because the liver takes its marching orders from the microbiome, like your brain does, already proven.
You know, one of the things that comes up, and I just want to speak about this briefly before our break, is that I don't think that there's one restaurant, most of the restaurants here, you cannot really eat a healthy way. Even if it comes down to dressing, they don't have dressing that doesn't have sugar.
Well, you're talking about the town where you live, right? Okay, well, it's different in Salt Lake. Yeah, there are plenty in every neighborhood now, good restaurants that are very aware of healthy eating. I mean, it's not like they're on every corner, but I think you can eat pretty well out here in Salt Lake City.
You remember we went to Core Life together? That seems to be maybe the healthiest.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good, yeah.
I mean, you have choices there where you don't have choices in other places. I'm not saying that these people are badly intentioned. I just think that they're not scrupulous. And I know that even in New York or some of these major cities, you can eat more healthy than you can here in the suburbs of Utah.
It's true. The bigger the city, the better the health choices. And some ghettos, they're called nutritional deficiency islands, where there's nothing, not even grocery stores that carry good food, produce.
Right. Well, listen, we need to take a break now, and we'll be right back. I'm really excited about this program. I feel my addiction beginning to slightly fade, and my determination to increase astronomically. I'll be right
back. Good
Thank
to
you.
Hear.
My company, New Galaxy Enterprises, is a California corporation specializing in the creation of media and promotional content. We are focused on original, innovative projects that are good for humanity. These projects could be nonfiction books or novels, fictional screenplays or documentary content, websites and website content, commercial advertising content for print, audio, or video products on the internet, television, or radio, musical scores for advertising, television or film, video, audio editing, etc. We want to promote products and projects that support the environment, encourage a healthy experience in living, developing, nurturing, and useful technology, and offering platforms for positive, socially constructive entertainment or informative, transformative media. Our experience in creating a variety of products like this is rather vast, and we offer client-based and collaborative products, as well as the opportunity of active investors to join us in the creation and promotion of proprietary products, some of which are in latter stages of development. For more information, go to www.newgalaxyenterprises.com. That's www.newgalaxyenterprises.com. If you're interested in talking to us, just fill out the contact sheet and we will get back with you. Dr. Hugo Rodier has published 4 books on health issues covering practically all chronic health problems. You may find them by accessing his website at hugorodier.com. That's HUGORODIER.com. Gut health is the most academic, while switching off chronic disease is the most patient-oriented, with simple recipes to implement his nutritional protocols. Sometimes life compels you to switch gears, to leave friends, change jobs, wander into unknown places. This song is about two people who leave a place that's somewhat dark, somewhere very unpleasant, and wander unexpectedly into paradise. It is sung by Patricia Welch. I wrote the lyrics, and Edgar Ahrens composed and played the music.
Escaping from the dawn, we flee to desert skies. The final dance is on. Shadows win, a gleam from downcast eyes. sight. The sand just seemed to climb, unfolds a magic view.
We're back on the Integrative Hermetic Health Show, and we're talking about food. And we're talking about a way to escape from a lot of the effects of sugar and other types of food that aren't really good for us.
Well, we were talking about also restaurants out there, places you can go eat for fun and variety and fellowshipping, entertainment. You know, those are healthy things to do. You know, some fanatics will never go eat out. Because they don't have control of the kitchen. But I think that's carrying it to an extreme. Food must be fun. Food is psychological. Food is fellowship and love. And so to totally deprive yourself, it's not healthy either.
Right.
And that in mind, let's just say that the best way to eat is plant-based organic food, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes we have to compromise. I have friends that don't want to eat with me because they... No, I eat too well for them.
That's too bad.
So I say, okay, well, let's go to Chakarama then. It's a bit of a compromise, but I'm happy. Because you can go to the salad bar and eat fairly well and then add a little chicken or fish from the periphery. And you're good to go. Just stay away from the brownies and the ice cream and all the cakes and the white food they got. And you're good. And your friends can eat any way they want. Now, I'm kind of sad that some friends feel that way. But I reassure them every time. Hey, listen, I'm off duty here. So just eat whatever you like. You know, so I go out of my way to make them feel comfortable eating a hamburger across the table. I don't care. I just want to be with them.
A couple of other restaurants that in retrospect, I think that these restaurants can provide pretty good comparison to Chakarama, and that's the Golden Corral.
Yeah.
Golden Corral has tremendous, lots of vegetables cooked and and salad, and then also Sizzler.
Yeah, that's true. I used to eat a Sizzler before there was a Chakarama in town.
So those things, you really can sort of move your way. Of course, you're not going to avoid GMO foods. And, you know.
That's why I open up saying, look, the best is organic plant-based food, okay? But then we need to be willing to compromise once in a while. You know, I bet you money there are listeners who are horrified by what we're saying because they are really purist, if you will. And I respect that. I respect both extremes. Okay, they bring us to the middle. But that's my point. When you got 99.9% of people out there eating at McDonald's, you think that all of a sudden they're going to go to the other extreme, especially after our discussion on addiction? No. So I think it's rational with wise to try to find a middle way that might eventually get you to be a purist if you want, which I don't recommend, which I really don't recommend. I have some purist friends who are horrified that I eat at Chakarama. So where's the middle way? The middle way that we talk about in our hermetic medicine show, hermetic health show, is wherever you want it to be. We need to be tolerant with one another. Of course, there's a divine middle way, but who am I to say where it is? I'm happy looking for it myself, and Chakarama is my middle way when I want to hang out with my friends.
Well, I think that's great.
Anyway, let's switch topics. Let's go to a still related topic, allergies and the microbiome, which you yourself have talked about and experienced, right, Johnny?
Yeah. Of course, I didn't really understand why. I understood that I could cut out certain foods and I would get better. Particularly asthma is my big example. But I now realize that microbiome has a lot to do with all of the problems I've had, including certain diabetic type of symptoms.
Exactly. So this terrific article came out in the journal Annals of Allergy and Asthma Immunology this year, page 276, if you want to look it up. But terrific article because it goes to the heart of the matter. And this is what I've been telling people for decades. If you have any allergy, including seasonal allergy, sneezing, which is this forerunner to other allergic respiratory issues, even asthma. And of course, as you know, all those respiratory allergies are related to food allergies. Most people get better when they stop drinking or eating dairy products. And it's all about the microbiome, how they get used to the bad nutrients or pseudonutrients in our food, I should say, sugar. Then they begin to mutate. We call it dysbiosis. And that begins to put out endotoxins. The gut bacteria starts to produce endotoxins. That means chemicals that they produce that go into the bloodstream. And there you go. You got your allergy throughout the body, not just food allergies.
Right.
And a whole lot of people out there are saying, oh, yeah, wheat allergy. Yes, that's the number one. Gluten intolerance. Why? Okay, well, the wheat is a bit processed. Yes, I'm sure that contributes to it. But even pure wheat can trigger an allergy. And why? It's not because the wheat is bad. It's just because our gut bacteria is so dysfunctional or unbalanced.
Oh, I see.
That you're not able to process that food. So any food allergy should be a clue to you that your gut microbiome needs to be rebalanced. And I bet you dollars to donuts that the problem is sugar and dairy. And of course, a whole lot of people have allergies to dairy as well. But take nuts. Say you're allergic to nuts. Well, maybe you didn't eat them early enough in life. Yeah, we have articles now saying that we've gone wrong not having children eat nuts at an early age. And so it all boils down to how your microbiome is set by your mom. Your mother passes on her microbiome to you in the process of birthing. Yeah, and then if mom didn't eat so well, well, you know what's going to happen. If she took antibiotics for pregnancy, if she had you C-section and a whole lot of other factors, your gut microbiome is not going to be that good. So you start to have food allergies, which will be compounded if she starts to nurse you, still eating sugar and a lot of crap. And so you see, that's how babies start to have ear infections, if you will, because we need to point out that food allergies are an immune issue. And then, of course, you already know that the microbiome is 2/3 of the immune system. So put all those factors together and you see how kids start to have more infections early in life, even babies. And what does a friendly neighborhood doctor do? They give you antibiotics, okay, which in Europe are not used very much for ear infections, and they do just fine anyway. And so this kid starts to have a whole lot of antibiotics for the ear infections and sore throats. And pretty soon your microbiome is just spiraling down and you start to develop food allergies. Well, who could have seen that coming?
Well, and then, you know, I never ever, when I was younger and I went through all this, I never even heard of such a thing as the microbiome.
You know, it's sad because the microbiome won the Nobel Prize in Medicine in 1908. So the literature has always been there. It just buried on page 23, you know what I mean? And so I had to dig hard in medical school because I trained through journals. I put away my textbooks unless I was having a test. Yeah, they make a joke.
That's so smart.
Well, I figured the textbooks were dated. So I was just an average student because I average studied the textbooks. I hit the journals hard. So, in fact, in my yearbook, medical yearbook, they make fun of me reading the New England Journal of Medicine. Yeah. So I cut on to all this quite early. And, of course, you know, nutrition became my main focus because microbiome food is the same thing, if you will. But I digressed a little bit there. The point is that these babies, flooded with antibiotics, start to have all kinds of food allergies. their allergies to pollen and seasonal allergies, even asthma starts to come by. And you keep getting antibiotics, you keep spiraling down. Mommy's not feeding you too well. She lets you eat too much ice cream and sugar, et cetera, et cetera. And pretty soon you also start having rashes. So it's worth mentioning here, dermatology. I'm still having arguments with dermatologists who will give you a cream for an allergy, or excuse me, a rash, a steroid cream for the most part, and call it good, and never saying anything about your diet and your microbiome. Let me just put it very clearly. Just about every skin rash is a reflection of what's going on with the microbiome, period. And the most glaring example is eczema, which a whole lot of people have.
Yeah, I had it. I have a story about that, actually.
All right, go for it.
Well, at the time, I was in New York, and I was coming down with asthma. And just before I left, I also had a tremendous eczema problem, and it was like huge, only in my hands, though. And I couldn't understand it, and I went to a skin doctor. It was a rather famous skin clinic, which had handled the Hiroshima people at one point. And I talked to the doctor there. And when he told me it was incurable, I have to put this crap on my hands all the time, I got really angry at him. It's really strange because I had no right to get angry at him because I didn't know anything. But I did. I said, you know, you're telling me this is incurable? I just got it. What's wrong? I mean, so I went to New Orleans, got into all this stuff that actually cured me of asthma. And when I was cured of asthma, which was through diet, I read a book by Adele Davis talking about, I looked up eczema and I found that it was linked to asthma, and that one solution for it was to take PABA, parabenzoic acid, B vitamin.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And I took it and in 24 hours it went away. Okay, so after I got cured of asthma, I looked up a book by Adele Davis, who's a well-known nutritionist, popular nutritionist. I looked up eczema and I found it was linked to asthma, and I found out that she said that PABA sometimes helped. Well, I took PABA, not much of it, just from a bottle, and in 24 hours it went away. And it came back a couple of times very mildly, and I got rid of it by taking PABA, which is a B vitamin, parabenzoic acid.
So, which is the absorption of B vitamins is curtailed when we have a microbiome imbalanced. It's
right.
One of the things that goes. So if you Google eczema now and probiotics, you'll see hundreds of articles saying that eczema gets better with probiotics, which then improve your absorption of nutrients by decreasing inflammation of the walls of the intestines, and thereby you absorb B vitamins better.
So, I see. So I needed extra B vitamins because of that problem.
Yeah, so I wouldn't take PABA only. You know, you want to take the whole B complex, which includes PABA. So the point here being is that it all boils down to the microbiome, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Including skin allergies. And of course, we've always known that eczema is related to food allergies and asthma and seasonal allergies and all that. And it's a very common problem. It's sad to see people still putting a cream on instead of doing anything about their microbiome, which again, you know, it's worth repeating, is mostly determined by the food we eat.
Well, we're going to have to say goodbye right now, and I can't wait till next week, because maybe by next week I'll have dealt with my addiction a little bit more sensibly. Who knows?
Yeah, I'll be rooting for you.
Thank you.
And our listeners who try to do the same.
Well, we'll see you next week. Take care.
All right, Tony. Take care.
The Coalition is a unique project designed to empower its members both individually and collectively. Besides individual empowerment, its broader focus is on the restoration, protection, and enhancement of citizen and human rights throughout the world through the aid of its members. As this project is centered in the United States, our first task is to create a website and social network infrastructure to promote collective efforts to take back our rightful control as citizens over our government as designed by our founding fathers. Although we must begin with the social network restricted to United States citizens, the organization will also host a global dialogue for the discussion of human rights by citizens of democratic nations throughout the world. If you're interested, please check us out in the GoFundMe.com website, entering in the search field, The Coalition for Planetary Empowerment. That is go to GoFundMe.com and enter in the search field the Coalition for Planetary Empowerment. For more information about Dr. Rodier's practice, books, blogs, and newsletters, contact Hugo Rodier, MD, at www.hugorodier.com. That's HUGORODIER.com. We're going out now with a famous song sung by Bill Monroe called John Henry. Here's some information about the song found in Song Facts. This folk song tells the story of John Henry, an enormous man who worked on the Big Bend Tunnel near Talcott, West Virginia. The tunnel was carved through the Big Bend Mountain so the railroad could go through instead of going around it. Work began on the mile and a quarter tunnel in 1870, and the project was completed 3 years later. It was grueling work, requiring men to pound away at the rock with hammers so they could insert dynamite. John Henry, as portrayed in the song, was determined to prove that he could do a better job than a new piece of technology, a steam drill. A contest was staged, pitting him against the machine. He won but died from the exertion. There may or may not have been a real John Henry, but his legend lives on in the song, which has taken on many forms during the years. The tunnel is real, and a statue depicting John Henry stands on the site. His ghost is rumored to haunt the tunnel. Here's the song.
John Henry was a little colored boy. Put him on the palm of your hand. And his papa cried out, "This long farewell. Son, gonna be used to you driving man, Lord, Lord. Son, gonna be used to you driving man." Laid down his hammer and cried. John Henry walked through the tunnel, had his captain by his side. The last words that John Henry said, "Bring me two drinks. What a bore I die, Lord, Lord. Who drinks and what a bore I die." John Henry hammered on the right hand side, the steam rail hammered on the left. Before I see that stranger beat me down, I'd hammer my fool self to death, Lord, Lord, hammer my fool self to death. We're going where John Henry fell dead, Lord, Lord. Going where John Henry fell dead. Talk about John Henry as much as you please. Say and do all that you can. Another such a steel driving man, Lord, Lord. Another such a steel driving man. John Henry told his captain, "I want to go to bed. A pallet I want to lay down. Got money roaring in my head, Lord, Lord. Money roaring in my head." John Henry took sick and he could not work. Potty drove a steel like a man, Lord, Lord. Potty drove a steel like a man. Money roaring in my head, Lord, Lord. Money roaring in my head.